Just in case you've forgotten, let me tell you just into who the hell I am.
I don't think they've forgotten.
I am Big Rick. Weekly Blitz, Weekly Blitz, Weekly Blitz, da, 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 da. Weekly Blitz.
Yeah, we started packing this weekend. The game, either go to a friend's house or stay home and watch it. Not sure.
Oh, how was your trip back home?
It was good, man. Ate a lot of Raising Cane's. Ate a lot of walk-ons. Surprisingly, I gained no weight. Susie just Susie gained 4 pounds.
She you can't help but gain weight when you go back home, man.
But yeah, when you go to Louisiana, you better expect to gain some weight. We went to walk-ons, and I had the Sunshine Burger with the fried egg and the hash brown and the fries and all that. And then one of their desserts is a Krispy Kreme bread pudding. So the cake, the bread pudding itself is a Krispy Kreme donut. Yeah, so, of course, you know, DJ, get you one. So we ate it. Susie goes, man, I could really want to take one home. And so she did, and she ate it at the house, and she comes back, my bras are tight. I'm like, well, get another Krispy Kreme bread pudding. Welcome back after a week off. We are back. Trip to Louisiana, man. We didn't have a show 2 weeks ago. And we were supposed to have a show last week. Somebody was supposed to do it for me, and they bailed. But we're back, man. And we're not back with a... We should be back with a vengeance after our records. But I'm kind of depressed at my picks for college. Brad DeSalle joining us. Brad, what's up, man?
Oh, man, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, it's funny because what I'm betting on, what I'm doing on the show is not what I'm betting on the website, and I seem to be doing better on the website.
Well, then maybe you need to start betting on the show what you bet on the website, or are you playing the catch-22 game where you're going to win regardless? But if you have a better record on the show, Brad, you don't win money, unlike betting online. So, hold up.
You're
that's
right,
my
I'm
bad.
Gonna...
My alerts were on. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, like I'm not, I'm betting on sure things. I'm not winning a lot of money. I'm not getting rich, but I'm winning a little bit. Like, you bet the sure things, and you're not going to win much. You bet $5, you may win $2, but hey, you win.
So let's recap. So what we're going to recap is not last week's. We didn't have any picks last week. We're going to recap week 5 of the NCAA. Washington was favored by 10.5 over USC. You and Jim chose Washington. I chose USC. Ohio State was favored by 17.5 against Nebraska. You guys chose Ohio State. I chose Nebraska. You guys won. Texas Tech played OU. Oklahoma was favored by 27.5. Across the board, we all chose Texas Tech. Oklahoma blew them out. I want to say by 38 is what it was.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Michigan was favored by 27.5, especially after last week. What was the final score? 10-3? 13-10 or some shit
Iowa.
Like that against Iowa? This was before that game, but even before that, when I saw Michigan, how they got dominated by Wisconsin, I didn't think Michigan was going to cover the 27.5. You and I were right. Jim was wrong. He chose Rutgers. Cal was favored by 5.5. You and I chose Cal. Jim chose Arizona State. He ended up winning. And Notre Dame was favored by 12.5 against Virginia. I think Notre Dame is quiet. Like, we love to say this off air. They're quietly good, especially after the performance they gave against Georgia. You and I chose Notre Dame to cover 12.5 against Virginia, and they did. So, week 5, I went 2-for-5, which was 33%, my worst week in college football in probably 2 years. You went 4-for-6, so you went 80%. Jim went 3 for 6. He went 50%. Let's jump to the NFL. Week four of the NFL, the same week as week five in college football, was the first week we chose every football game in the NFL. And surprisingly, if you look at the first 10 games, you went 1 for 9, or you went 1 for 10. I went 3 for 10, and Jim went 2 for 10. Then the last 6 games, you and I hit all 6 of them. Jim hit 3 of the 6. So that ended up being 53% for me, 40% for you, and Jim ended the week, week 4 of the NFL at 33%. Week 5, we had no bets. We were off, but we're back for week 6. Let's just recap last week. Anything that, whether it be college or NFL, anything that stuck out in your mind about how good teams are, about how bad teams are, any surprise players?
You know what's really, like, the Colts had surprised me against the Chiefs, man. I took, on one of my parlays, I took the over and the spread, the Chiefs to cover, and they ended up losing that game. Like, I'm finding that the NFL is getting harder to bet than college, and it probably usually is, because it's more, inconsistent, because you never know who's going to show up, but you always, like, you look how bad the Colts have played, and then you think about how well the Chiefs have played, and like, all right, you know, they should cover the spread between them, you know? And I mean, they're over, and they didn't.
Now, are you buying? So let's go back to the Colts and Chiefs. Are you buying in on the Colts, or do you think the Chiefs, and I hate to sound so negative on the Colts, because they really are a good team, but did the Chiefs just have an off week? Or you think the Colts really had their number, and the Colts are something... the Colts are a team that we're overlooking in the AFC.
So I think we're overlooking them, because the one major thing I saw, like, we always think about Patrick Mahomes on the run and how good he is. Like, they just had him flustered. Like, I think, you know, as good as he is, like, we see him make these great passes, but that's only maybe one a game or two a game that he can make those passes when he's flustered like that, versus – they were in his – he couldn't do it. They were in his face the whole time. And so I think the Colts – I mean, I think they can win the division. But Kansas – they exposed Kansas City. And, you know, what is Andy Reid going to do? We know how he always folds when he gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, he does. And that's why I'm not buying him as a head coach until he – we had an argument. I had a discussion on Facebook that someone said Andy Reid – is a better coach than Sean Payton. Now, I'm going to sound biased because I am a Saints fan, but I try my best to take as much fan bias out when I talk about the Saints and LSU. But, man, I can't agree with that statement. Look at the talent Andy Reid has had in his career at head coach, Philadelphia. And look at the talent he has now. No Super Bowls, man, and he crumbles in the playoffs, and he crumbles. He went to the Super Bowl, I want to say, once with the Eagles, and they lost bad. I don't – Sean Payton has had less talent, especially on defense, and he has made more out of his coaching career. I'm interested to see what you think about that.
So I can see both points, but the thing is Andy Reid has now done it at two different locations. The Eagles weren't that good when he got there, and the Chiefs weren't that good when he got there. But he's turned around and made those teams. But there's just something about him. And after that, I would say he's probably one of the best regular season coaches of all time. That's what I would say. The guy, but after that, like, clutch, like, he doesn't seem to have it. Where I think, you know, Peyton does, and if we want to look two really fluke plays over the past 2 years, we would have been in the Super Bowl probably two more times. So I think Peyton's a very good overall coach. Andy Reid is a very good, like, regular season coach. I mean, you can't fault the guy. He's drafted the people. He's developed them. You know, so, yeah, he may have more talent, but that shows that he can see it and he can develop it.
Well, let's get to it, man. Week 6 in the NFL. Let me get this pulled up. I sent you guys the picks, and I need to find them because I have the spread on them. Okay, here we go. Let's start off. The New Orleans Saints, who are, what is it? Seattle? Are they, they're 3-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. Surprisingly 3-0. I had them at 1-2 right now. Is this a testament to A, how good Sean Payton is as a coach? B, how surprisingly good Teddy Bridgewater is and how much he's learned under Sean and Drew? Or is this a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of all of it. Like, they saw something in Teddy. And, I mean, when Teddy first came out, we've always talked about it. Like, coaches plan, defensive coordinators plan over the offseason for the games that are upcoming, and they make final preparations coming through. So, you know, I think this could also be the thing. Like, nobody prepared for Teddy Bridgewater. Nobody has seen what Teddy Bridgewater's weakness can be in 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So a defensive coordinator can't figure out what it is. Now, I'm reluctant to say that Teddy Bridgewater is our future. He's played very well. If he's our quarterback, I think the days of, you know, 40 points a game are gone. I think it's more we're running a little bit more and we're going to throw off the run, which I feel like we've been doing that a little bit anyway. But it also goes to Peyton to make sure he's ready and to fit the game plan to help Teddy succeed. I'm with you. I'm very surprised we're 3-0. But I'm happy about it. And I'm hoping that this just isn't, they haven't caught on to Teddy's weaknesses yet. And I'm hoping this is maybe our future. I wasn't high on Bridgewater as our future. But if he continues to play like this, you know, it doesn't look bad for the Saints. Also, I don't know if you saw, I don't know if it was you that posted it. I saw somewhere that they said that the Saints may be interested in A.J. Green.
I saw
when
that.
When he comes back off injury.
My mindset is this. If we're this good with Teddy, okay, now this is the question that's going to, a lot of people are going to say, well, question your
hold
fanhood.
Hold on, I'm going to cut you off real quick. Our defense has played lights out since Teddy's been in there too. And it could be that we're having more sustainable drives so the defense gets a rest. You know, we score so fast with Breeze, the defense sometimes doesn't get a chance to catch its breath. I'm sorry. Now you can go ahead.
I'm going to ask a question that's going to – all right. Whew. I feel bad asking this as a Saints fan. Would the Saints – would we be 4-1 with Drew Breeze?
Ooh.
Now, I mean, and I'm saying that because I would like to think if we're this good with Teddy, imagine how we would be. I don't know why the iPad keeps going off. I'm sorry, people. If we're this good with Teddy, imagine how good we'd be with Drew. But it's one of those things where, like, all the stars have to align at the same time in the same order for us to be this good. Are one of those stars just Teddy Bridgewater? And like you said, it's something different teams haven't seen.
I mean, it's the Nick Foles theory. Look what Nick Foles did the couple times he came in for Carson Wentz. I mean, I still think that we have lost a game in there, but it's almost kind of like I feel like the Saints were like, oh, man, we got Breeze. We're good. You know, we're okay. And then all of a sudden it's like, fuck, Breeze is gone. Everybody, we got to refocus on this. And we got to – I feel like it's almost kind of brought them together more. I mean, you and I at the beginning of the season were absolutely worried about the defense. They played lights out with Bridgewater. I think it's kind of a switch. Like, they fucking know that they have to play better if they're going to win.
So, New Orleans travels to Jacksonville. The spread is Jacksonville is a one-point favorite. You're supposed to get 3 for being at home, so Vegas thinks this game is pretty much even. I don't think it's even. I think the way the Saints are playing right now, I think the way Bridgewater's playing right now, our offensive line got our shit together last week. Not nearly as many penalties. I just think the Saints are looking really good right now, man. And I don't say that as a homer. I say that as a legit. I mean, they really are looking good. The Jags are favored by 1. I got the Saints winning this outright.
I agree with you. And I love the Gardner Minshew kid. You know, his ability to create and make plays. But we just saw that 2 weeks ago in Seattle. So I think we're okay there. Leonard Fournette, the power running back, you know, it depends. If they try to slow the game down, it could hurt us. But no Jalen Ramsey, You know, nobody can guard Mike as it is. What the hell are you going to do with no Ramsey?
Yeah, Ramsey's out too. So that that is going to help New Orleans a lot, especially Bridgewater. But man, the thing is, and I've already seen, and I knew we were going to see this, we don't need Drew. Yeah, you do need Drew. We need Drew come playoff time. We need Drew come week 8, and that's when he's scheduled to come back. Teddy, you've done a great job for us, but you're doing what you're getting paid to do right now, and that is to be a backup quarterback and to come in if our starter gets hurt and to not lose games. That's what your job
is. So how many times did we talk about this off air? I was truly concerned if Breeze ever got hurt because Bridgewater hasn't played a meaningful snap in 2 years. And so maybe that is more of a testament to Sean Payton to have him ready.
I tell you, I feel a little bit more comfortable now that if Drew were to retire, the Saints would still be a little bit relevant. I do, just a little bit, not much.
Oh, I agree.
So Jim thinks different. Jim thinks the Jaguars are going to win. Seahawks and Browns, oh my God. Was I the only one that thought the Browns were going to implode from within by week 6? I was wrong, Brad. They've done that by week 4. The Browns are a dumpster fire. Baker Mayfield, 10 or 8 for 22, 2 interceptions, 100 yards passing. You are garbage, my man. You are straight garbage. You're horrible. Brad likes to say you are a sober Johnny Manziel, and that's what you are. The Browns are terrible. Nick Chubb could easily be one of the most talented running backs in the league, but you can't be that with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. The Browns are who we thought they were.
I'm going to go. I agree because I'm not a Baker Mayfield guy. I said it from when he was a flash in the pan last year and everybody was jumping on the Baker Mayfield train. I'm like, no, the dude's just a cocky, he's an egotistic, you know, he's worried about everybody else. Maybe he shouldn't have been worried about Ramsey or anybody else. He should have been focusing on his team like he was telling everybody else. but I'm going to go on this. I watched a little bit of that game. Odell dropped 3 passes. Dude, if you're trying to be paid like the number one receiver in the league, you can't have 3 passes hit you in the hand and drop them. I mean, one of them was a little high. But, man, we've seen Odell make unreal catches. So I think it's going to start to – I'm with you. They're slowly eroding. It hasn't publicly exploded yet, but they're eroding from within.
Seahawks are favored by 1. Seahawks not only cover the 1 point. I don't know, dude, because the Browns go and beat the Ravens 30-10. You know, it's like, what Browns team is going to show up? Or should I say, which parlay are the Ravens going to fuck me up this week for? You know, it's I would have won a parlay. They decided to get their ass kicked by the trash Browns that week. Then they go back on a scoring spree. Look, fuck it. Seahawks win big. I think the Seahawks are really good. Quietly good. Not quietly good like the Colts, but still quietly good. And I think they beat the Browns by way more than 1 point. You agree. You also chose the Seahawks. Jim thinks different. Jim is picking Cleveland. I don't know what Jim sees in Cleveland after last week. You've known him longer than I have. Maybe you could help me pick his brain.
He may just be – I mean, because you're right. We saw what they did against the Ravens. You know, it could happen. Like, that's the thing with Cleveland. It can fucking happen. Like, it could easily happen. But I'm not putting no more. I'll make a bet with them on here, but I'm not doing anything else with them. I don't trust them, motherfuckers.
Nope. Next game, Vikings, Eagles in Minnesota. Eagles secondary is just as bad as Baker Mayfield. They're horrible. The Eagles could have a really good team if they had a decent secondary. But man, the Vikings home are a totally different team than the Vikings away, and this game is at home. The Vikings are favored by 3, which Vegas tells you is pretty much even. You get 3 when you're home. I disagree. I think the Vikings should be favored by 6. They're just a different team when they're home, man. It's like the Superdome. It's like Tiger Stadium. It's like Green Bay. It's like you have that real home field advantage when you're in Minnesota, and I think that's going to mean a lot to them, and I think the Vikings cover that 3 points.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, you're right. Vegas thinks it's even, and it's because of fucking Kirk Cousins. you know, like, you can't trust that guy. He's Baker, an older Baker Mayfield. I told you I'm taking the Eagles because Kirk Cousins is awful. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, when you have Diggs, when you have Thielen, and you have the best running back in the NFL, you don't need to hit the broadside of a barn. You just need to get close to it. And that's what Kirk Cousins is.
He can't even get close to it.
He get close enough.
Kirk Cousins can't even get close. He's awful.
Well, my Adam Thielen 38 points says you're different. So
that's a 25% chance that it happens. So they play what, 4 games? That's a 25% chance. I'm not going there.
You chose the Eagles to either win or lose by less than 3. And Jim agrees with me on this. He thinks Minnesota's going to win. Rams and 49ers, talk about being quietly good. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought the 49ers were going to be 4-0 at this point in the NFL season. I don't think anyone thought the 49ers would be 500 at this point in the season, but they are. They're one of the only 2 teams remaining that are undefeated.
Yep.
With the Patriots. 49ers, Rams, mm-hmm. We don't know what the Rams are, Brad. 1 week they'll dominate, the next week they'll struggle, the next week they'll get their ass kicked, and the next week they'll struggle. I don't know, and I've always said the first 4 weeks in the NFL season are the hardest to bet on because you don't know what teams are. We're going into week 5, week 6, and I still don't know who some of these teams are. With that being said, I haven't made my pick for this, but man, I know what the Rams have on their team. They have a badass defensive front. They have talent on the offensive side. And I think this is the 49ers' first real test. And I don't know what the Rams are, but I know what they have. I don't know what the 49ers are, and I don't know what they have. But I'm going with the Rams and the 3.5 points.
No, I agree with you. That's what I'm taking as well. And I think you're right. Like, the 49ers haven't really played anybody. I mean, are we going to consider the Browns? You know what I mean? I mean, we just talked about how bad the Browns are. Is that considered a real win? Kind of like the Cowboys when they were 3-0. Like, they didn't fucking play nobody. So how can you go? So until they can show it. Now, if they go and they put an ass whooping on the Rams, I think that's more of a testament to the 49ers than it is the Rams. So that's where I'm at with that.
Rams also are the pick by Jim. Whew, let's see here. Packers, 4-point favorite against the Lions. Dude, the Packers are in a league of their own this year. Packers 4. I'll take the Packers to cover.
Yeah, I agree.
Jim also
agrees. But the Lions are sneaky good, too. If you've looked at what they've done, I mean, they've been fighting. They've been in some games.
No, they are, but they're playing the Packers. And the Packers are – look – The rumor and innuendo out of the Packers camp this summer is the Packers, they can't spread the field. The offense doesn't know what they're doing. Boy, were we wrong. We were either wrong or we were getting played big time. Because Packers,
I mean, look at Aaron Jones scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. What is it, 39
they're,
points?
They're running
in
the
fantasy?
Ball more. Yeah.
So, I think the Lions are good, but I don't think they're Packer good. We all 3 have the Packers in this. College football, Saturday. Let's start with Wisconsin and Michigan State. Wisconsin is a 10.5-point favorite. Michigan State looked like they were going to upset Ohio State last week for like a quarter, and then Ohio State took over. Man, I have Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin will beat Ohio State this year, and I would love to see a Wisconsin in the Final 4. I have Wisconsin covering this 10.5 against Michigan State.
I do, too, and I'm with you. I think that they can beat Ohio State. They have to slow the game down. They can't let, you know, you have to control the clock. You have to limit the scores and keep yourself in the game to be able to make a play to win it if you need to, because they're just kind of like Alabama, kind of like Oklahoma, kind of like LSU right now. If you can make long, sustained drives to put points on the board, whether it's 3 or 7, like, that can hurt those type of offenses. Because they get in rhythms and they get in grooves and they just run up and down the field.
Where are we at here? All right, we both have Wisconsin. So does Jim. Clemson, Florida State. Clemson is a 27-point favorite. And I'm going to go on record right now. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm not calling an upset. But I am going to say this. Whoever Clemson plays in the playoff, game one, they're going to get beat. And they're going to get beat bad. Clemson is not that good this year. They are not as good as they were last year. Whoever Clemson plays in round one, they're going to lose. Whether it be a Georgia, an Alabama, an LSU, a Wisconsin, a Florida, or any other team, an Oklahoma, Ohio State, I don't think Clemson, all those teams I named, Brad, I honestly think are better than Clemson right now.
Well, I think North Carolina almost beat them. And exactly what I just went to my point, like North Carolina slowed the game down. And they had themselves in a position to win it in the end. And they went for two for the win, which is kind of ballsy. They went for two and didn't get it. So they only lost by one. If they'd have kept the field going, gone in overtime, they'll tell them what happened.
And look, I remember watching that game, and I said, you know what? You're not expected to win. So if you don't make the two-point conversion, you almost beat Clemson. And that's a win. But if you kick a field goal and go into overtime and lose to them, you still went in overtime with Clemson. To me, it was a win-win situation for that program. You brought Clemson to the final of the game, and or you went into overtime and lost to, or beat them. It's a win-win for North Carolina.
I agree. And I think the decision came down to that the way Clemson was moving the ball at the end of the fourth quarter and the way that North Carolina was struggling to move the ball in the fourth quarter. You know, I think that's what made that decision. Like, we won't survive overtime. We got to go for two.
I'm going Florida State here. Not to win, but I don't think Clemson wins by 27.
Yeah, I got Clemson. I got Clemson covering.
I don't see Clemson on your list. You don't have Clemson on your list.
What would I have? I didn't send it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Neither you or Jim have that game. Jim, what's your pick for the Clemson game?
If you heard, you send it?
I did. Yeah, I'm reading it off my text here. You have who?
Clemson.
All right, so you have Clemson to cover. I have Florida State to lose, but not by 27. Alabama, Texas A&M. Alabama's favored by 16.5. Man, this smells like a trap game for Alabama because Alabama's defense is not that good this year. And Texas A&M is playing at home, and we know Texas A&M is a different ball team when they're playing at home. I'm going A&M here, not to upset, but I'm going to take the points in A&M.
Once again, until you can slay the beast, I'm going to stay with the beast. I'm taking Alabama.
That's your motto for everything in life, isn't it?
That's right.
Jim also chose Alabama. Oklahoma and Texas, the Red River rivalry. And I have to say that slow because I won't say it fast. Oklahoma is a 10.5-point favorite against Texas. Man, I was hoping after Texas played LSU that Texas's offense would improve week to week. That's not the case. Oklahoma looks like they're improving every week. And they're a really good offensive ball team. Again, their defense is mediocre. I think this is going to be a shootout. I want Texas to win because it helps LSU. If Texas beats Oklahoma, that looks really good on us.
Yeah.
You chose Oklahoma to cover. I'm going to have to agree with you on that, man. Just their offense is so explosive, and your boy Jalen Hurts is on fire right now. I'm gonna choose Oklahoma.
And that's the thing. The guy, he has big-time game experience. That's the thing. Speaking of him, they're talking about him on the TV right now, Jalen Hurts.
What are they saying?
They're comparing his stats from Oklahoma to Alabama. He's got 5 starts with Oklahoma, 305 passing yards a game, and a 75% completion percentage.
The guy
is swinging a rock.
Yeah, Jim chose Oklahoma. I'm picking Oklahoma. I think that's the smart pick here. LSU, Florida, primetime game. LSU explosive offense. Florida, you know, I'm going to throw that stat out. 58.6% of all defensive plays that Florida has played this year, that's over half of their defensive plays, they have put pressure on the opposing quarterback. I'm going to say that again. Over half of the defensive plays that Florida has ran this year, they have put pressure on the opposing quarterback. That is insane. That's video game numbers. You don't see that.
That's almost
60%. That's 6 out of 10 plays, you're putting pressure on the opposing quarterback. You don't see that anywhere.
So my question would be, so this is what we're, you know, we don't know. Is it they're sending a blitz with that? Or are they, is it just the front four getting pressure? Like, that would be the question I would have.
When you put that in perspective as a stat, no other team comes close. The next team I think I saw was 38%.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, if they're getting it on their front four, the other team's in trouble.
I don't think it's with the front four. I think it is blitz.
Oh, here you go. Your boy Jordan Burroughs, they're talking about him. 1,800 yards passing so far, 22 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Should be no picks. Should be one pick. Should be one pick.
91 QBR, fourth in the FBS. 71% completion when pressured this season, second in the FBS.
That can't be accurate because the same stat I read today is he – okay, under pressure, LSU's quarterback Joe Burrow under pressure is completing 77% of his passes. That's number one in college football.
You're arguing with the wrong person. This time he was on ESPN right now.
They're wrong because I read this stat on Fox Sports, and I'm never going to –
okay.
Take a stat from ESPN.
Well, this is the NFL. The NFL guys are just talking about, like,
well, they don't know shit. Then you talk about NFL. The stat I read, okay, Florida, 58% of their defensive
plays. I'm
going
to tell you, boy, Todd McShay, who's like the number one.
Joe Burrow, guy. Under pressure, completes 77% of his passes. That's number one in college football by a huge margin. And he's playing the number one ranked defense and pressuring a quarterback. Let's just talk about the matchup here, okay? Florida is number one in interceptions. They're number one in pressuring the quarterback, and they're number one in turnovers in the SEC. And they're playing, statistically, the number one offense in every category. What are you expecting out of this game?
So, you didn't tell me that first time we talked about this. When we talked about it earlier with the stats. That's what I was going to ask you, like, what's happening with that pressure?
Number one in interceptions in the SEC. Number one in sacks.
But I'll tell you what, though. We talked about it. I mean, our receivers, we got some big-time receivers out there, and I think Jordan Burrow is getting the ball out fast. Like, I think he can read the blitz, and I think that works to LSU's advantage.
I'm going to agree because I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? So, they're number one in interceptions and sacks and pressuring the quarterback. Come on. Waiting for my phone to load. Here we go. You ready? And those teams are against Miami, who is struggling, Tennessee Martin, Kentucky, who they should have lost to if Felipe Franks didn't go down. They were losing by 17 when Franks went down. Tennessee, Townsend, and Auburn. And when I say Auburn, no negative derogatory towards that. You're playing a quarterback that has no real experience in the SEC. He's good, but he's not a Joe Burrow. So you're playing teams, Miami, who's struggling, who they struggled against, Tennessee Martin, Kentucky, who they should have lost to, a horrible Tennessee, Townsend, and Auburn. So you look at those stats, Brad, and you say, okay, those stats are legit, but maybe it's because of the teams they're playing.
Could be. I mean, the one thing I would say that can help LSU is, you know, you don't have to worry about the kid from Florida running. He's a pocket passer. Felipe Franks would break the pocket. Like, for me, this kind of helps us. You know what I mean? And watching, I mean, if you think about some of the quarterbacks who LSU's played, like, I think it really sets up for them just this season. I mean, they were just talking about the Love kid from Utah State as a top five pick. A top five quarterback coming out. So, you know, then you have him and, you know, Elflinger out of Texas isn't bad. I mean, I think we've played some teams that can spread it that'll help us for games like Florida and Alabama.
With all that being said, it's going to be a dogfight. But I got LSU covering the 14 points.
I do not have them covering the 14.
Neither does Jim.
I think this, for me, and they play talking about it, 270 yards per game allowed this season. I'm trying to figure out.
Hey, what's Kentucky's quarterback's name?
So, what's Florida has that let, I don't know, 183 passing yards per game.
What is Tennessee's quarterback name?
I don't know. They've changed it like three times this year.
What's Townsend's quarterback's name?
I don't know.
All those are teams that they've given up 250 to 400 yards passing. They gave up 400 yards passing to Kentucky. I just think with LSU's offense, I think LSU's going to run away with this game. And I don't think it's close.
Here's how I can see
right
LSU
here.
Running.
Hey, oh. Right next to me. I got a spot. Come join the bandwagon, sir.
No, I'm going to pass. But, I mean, could I see LSU running away with it? Absolutely. But, one, we would have to limit the turnovers.
Yep.
And, two, we would have to create turnovers. Because I think we're going to score. And I think Florida's going to score. So it's going to be about who gets the more possessions. Is who's going to, and that's usually how it goes. But whoever can get the most possessions is, I think, who wins this game. Jordan Burrow has 14 touchdown passes and zero interceptions in the red zone, best in the FBS.
We got a good offense.
So that's just kind of 26 touchdowns for the Tigers in the red zone, best in the FBS.
With all that being said, Brad, I'm going to let you go. We're gonna finish this episode up. I think this is the first show we've ever done under 45 minutes.
All right, yep.
So good luck this week, and we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully our stats both rise from last week, especially in the NFL. And if you're on Twitter, find me on Twitter at TheBigRick62. Brad, do you even get on Twitter anymore?
I don't think so. But unfortunately, my win percentage in picking games looks like my fucking report cards from high school. So,
all right, brother.
It's no surprise to me.
Well, you have a good one, man.
All right,
we'll see y'all next week on the Weekly Blitz.